KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
And an update from ABC News to start the 7 o'clock hour. Good morning. This is the KOMO Morning News.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.
This is certainly a step in the right direction for the economy.
TD Ameritrade senior market strategist Sean Cruz reacting to a better-than-expected July jobs report that showed the U.S. economy added 1.8 million jobs last month and the unemployment rate fell to 10.2%. But with those numbers, ABC's chief business correspondent Rebecca Jarvis says,
in the months of March and April, the U.S. economy lost more than 21 million jobs. Now between May, June, and July, we have regained 9.3 million jobs. That's about half of the jobs we lost when the pandemic pressed pause on the economy.
There's no sign that Republicans and Democrats are close to agreeing to a new economic stimulus, with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying Republican offers have not gone far enough.
When they said a skinny proposal, it was anorexic.
Today's the deadline imposed by the White House for an agreement. President Trump has threatened to take unilateral action. He did take action Thursday night towards popular Chinese-owned apps. We get details from ABC's Rachel Scott.
The president says that when Americans download these apps, they're putting their privacy at risk. So now he is putting TikTok and WeChat on notice, ramping up the pressure for these Chinese-owned companies to sell these apps. Now, TikTok responding, saying they are shocked by this executive order. The president giving American companies just 45 days to stop doing business with the apps.
Presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden trying to clarify comments he made Thursday, where he seemed to suggest the black community lacked thought diversity. ABC's Kenneth Moten has details.
Overnight, Biden said that he in no way meant to suggest the African-American community is a monolith, not by identity, not on issues, not at all, adding that he was referring to diversity of attitudes among Latinos when it comes to immigration. President Trump calling the remark insulting.
More than 1.3 million utility customers in the Northeast are still without power after a tropical storm. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The KOMO Morning News.
7:02 right now. The sun's shining in Seattle, and it's going to be a pretty nice day. The current temperature is 60 degrees.
Along with Greg Herschelt, I'm Matt Defector. Here are the top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center.
The number of new confirmed cases of COVID-19 here in our state has just taken a big jump. We get an update on the numbers from KOMO's Brian Calvert.
Not only were there 833 new cases yesterday, but new one-day records for positives were set in Thurston County, where they had 35, and Pierce County, where they reported 123 on Thursday. And the numbers get worse. There were 29 COVID-19-related deaths reported in Washington yesterday alone, bringing the death toll statewide to 1,653. As new infection numbers show no signs of leveling off, the Seattle King County Health Department has a new team of educators and enforcers who are specifically visiting bars and restaurants. Known as S-STAR, or Safe Start for Taverns and Restaurants, these investigators are looking at everything from preventive measures in place to reassessment of those eateries temporarily shut down because of previous violations. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
The University of Washington says when fall quarter begins, more than 90% of its classes will meet online. The update from KOMO's Corwin Hake.
In a letter to fall enrollees, UW President Anamari Kause and Provost Mark Richards say the only classes to be held in person this fall are those that cannot be taught remotely, including some UW Medicine and Graduate Health Sciences programs. Everything else, the letter says, will move online. Kause and Richards note the continued spread of the coronavirus is limiting the UW's ability to safely provide in-person teaching. The letter does say residence halls and other campus housing will be open for students who need it. Corwin Hake, KOMO News.
School board members in Seattle and elsewhere are pushing back against plans to open the school year entirely online. In the South Kitsap District, for example, board member Jeff Daly is arguing for at least some in-person instruction.
Sometime we're going to have to open, all right? We're not going to be able to wait for vaccinations for 330 million Americans.
In Seattle, several school board members tell The Times they favor a plan that offers optional outdoor classes in school playgrounds and city parks.
Metro Transit is preparing two possible scenarios to help people get in and out of West Seattle. The first plan assumes the lower Spokane Street Bridge remains open and continues service using that key corridor. If recent issues with the lower bridge force it to close, Metro warns their second plan will be much more disruptive. The agency says this would involve rerouting all downtown-bound buses to West Marginal and on onto the First Avenue Bridge.
Como News Time 7:04. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 4s. Here's Kiara Jordan.
Well, it appears we have a new stall in Bellevue. This is going to be partially blocking the southbound 405 off-ramp to westbound Northeast 8th. We also have a new aid response in downtown Seattle. This is due to a medical emergency at 3rd and Pine. That's partially blocking the roadway. Northbound I-5 with a busy drive from the West Seattle Bridge to Seneca. Northbound 405, I see you tapping your brakes as you're traveling into the Newcastle area. The rest of our drives are moving at the speed limit. Our next Como traffic at 7:14.
A look at the weather now. For that, here's meteorologist Kristen Clark.
A partly cloudy day for Puget Sound, but showers make a quick return to the northwest interior later on this afternoon. So that's where the cloud cover will be gradually increasing throughout the day. And showers could arrive as early as the dinner hour from Forks through Port Angeles, north and east into Bellingham and Everett by the end of this evening. Some of those showers may start to slowly spill south into Seattle and Puget Sound overnight. Very isolated, few and far between, with sprinkles still possible on Saturday. In the Como Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Beautiful in downtown Seattle. We have sunshine, just a few high clouds. It's 57.
Como News Time 7:06. There have been six random assaults in the span of just 3 days in Seattle, and a half dozen people have been arrested for the unprovoked attacks.
We get more from Como's Cole Miller.
Three of those attacks happened down here along 3rd Avenue, right outside of the King County Courthouse, and they were all flat out frightening. In one, a man had a BB gun that was spray painted to look like a real firearm. He was pointing it at people. A woman attacked someone with a rock, and another man started randomly going after people hanging out outside of an apartment building. But the worst, as far as injuries go, happened up in Ballard. Walking to work earlier this month, Moses Brundy would end up badly beaten. Making his way through Ballard, he was attacked, kicked while unconscious, and according to court documents, he did not even remember what had happened, bleeding from his mouth, nose, and ears. As for that man attacked up in Ballard, we're told that he is now out of the hospital and recovering at home. And in just the last month, the prosecutor's office tells us it has filed 149 assault charges, 57 of those stemming from Seattle.
Four of the six assaults happened in the downtown commercial neighborhood.
4.5 years after the crimes, sentences were finally handed down yesterday for two men in the shooting deaths of two people and the injuring of three others at the homeless camp known as The Jungle. The Seattle Times says that brothers James and Jerome Tafuliasi were each sentenced to 40 years in prison. The day-long hearing included statements from victims, family members of deceased victims, and witnesses who recounted the day when the two brothers showed up, apparently to rob a drug dealer.
One of the proposals the Seattle City Council is expected to approve next week would eliminate the police navigation team. Como Suzanne Fawn got reaction.
It just makes me a little sad to see all these people camping out here.
Myson Witherspoon has seen the homeless problem grow here at Denny Park. He lives just around the corner from it. More camps seem to be popping up all over the city of Seattle. During the COVID-19 pandemic, sweeps of illegal homeless camps have been suspended. But now another problem could be on the horizon, a proposal to axe the Seattle Police Department navigation team. That's the team of 10 officers and outreach workers trained to work with homeless, help them get off the streets before removing their tents.
I think that's terrible because now we're gonna have to think of a whole new way to deal with this homeless problem that's only gonna keep growing as time goes on.
The Seattle City Council is proposing deep cuts to the salaries of the police chief and 12 members of her command staff. Como Steve McCarron asked the chief how she feels about that.
I know that several council members expressed that they feel like some members of the command staff are way overcompensated for what they do.
Yeah, they're wrong. I just think they're wrong about that.
That was Police Chief Carmen Best's reaction when I asked her directly about the City Council's proposal to drastically reduce the pay of 13 police executives, including her, for the rest of the year starting September 2nd.
It is a tragedy if we do anything that hurts the compensation of people who work so hard.
The city's website shows Best currently makes nearly $141 per hour.
This is a classic example of the bloated Seattle police budget.
Councilmember Chama Sawant says pay cuts will save nearly $500,000 this year that can be invested back into black and brown communities. She adds, under the law, the council cannot cut the affected employees' paychecks to $150,000 per year, an amount she'd like to see, but the council can reduce them to the lowest amount possible under the city's pay structure.
Extra Seattle police patrols were on hand last night at Alki Beach in West Seattle, hoping to reduce the current crime wave there. Neighbors seemed relieved.
It's a great idea for them to add extra security because of the recent shooting.
The Seattle Parks Department is now paying three additional officers to support them in patrolling Alki and the Don Armani boat ramp areas through September. Police say it was unusually quiet at Alki last night as a result.
If you want to head to a beach, you'll be relieved to know that Magnuson Park, Madison Park, Pritchard Park and West Green Lake Beach, once again, are being staffed with lifeguards. The city of Seattle had delayed that move this season due to the COVID-19 concerns and budget cuts.
Como News Time 710. That's time for a Como Sports Update with Tom Hutler.
Mariners and the Rockies begin a three-game series tonight. Colorado's having a great season so far in this shortened campaign. They're off to a 9-3 start, leading the National League West. Seattle's lost five of the last six after the Angels beat them 6-1 yesterday. Workouts continue with the Seahawks going through strength and conditioning drills. Quarterbacks are also allowed to throw to receivers during this phase of camp, and among those receivers, second-year star DK Metcalf and veteran tight end Greg Olsen, who actually played with Metcalf's dad years ago.
Kind of funny because they just started smiling, and Greg was like, oh, I got to tell you about some stories in the locker room and all of that. So, I mean, it looked like they had a pretty good relationship, but me just learning from Greg has been great. You know, he's been teaching me a lot this offseason since he's been in the league probably, 20 years now. But, you know, he's a great player, a great tight end. And, you know, just to learn from them is going to be special this year.
66 NFL players opting out of playing this season by yesterday's deadline. They could choose not to play due to the coronavirus pandemic, and those with a medical opt-out get a $350,000 stipend. Those voluntarily opting out get $150,000. The Seattle Storm take on Phoenix, a nationally televised matchup tomorrow at noon on Como 4. This after yesterday's 93-92 win over Atlanta, and they're just getting underway with the second round of the PGA Championship in San Francisco. Jason Day, the first round leader. Sports at 10 to 40 past each hour. Tom Hutler, Como News.
Como News Time 7-11. At least 16 people have been taken into custody in Beirut after Tuesday's deadly explosion there. They work at the port where tons of ammonium nitrate was stored in a warehouse.
Officials believe that's what decimated the city, calling it negligence and not an attack.
As the search goes on for the missing and the dead, incredible stories of survival and sacrifice in Beirut. This video, taken of a woman in labor, the explosion tearing through the hospital. Just blocks away from the blast site, delivering the boy in the dark amid the broken glass and debris. Others had miraculous escapes too. Dr. Isra Al-Siblani from Detroit had gone to Beirut to get married. But this is how her wedding day ended, running for her life.
I started to notice that color of the sky, which changed from blue into pink. And after that, when I heard the explosion.
Luckily, she was not at her hotel, which was heavily damaged. But so many did not live to tell their stories. Sahar Fares, a young firefighter, was at the scene of the blast, one of the first to respond. The rest of her team still missing. Her fiancé posting on Instagram, "My beautiful bride, I'll always love you until we're back together."
So 16 people from the port now arrested, but now that we know that there were warning letters that were ignored, and given the public mood in Lebanon, then there's going to be real pressure on investigators to push their investigation far higher than just a group of local officials.
That's ABC's Ian Pannell.
The cleanup continues on the U.S. East Coast in the aftermath of Hurricane Isaias.
3 full days after Isaias made landfall in the Carolinas and tore a path up the I-95 corridor, families continue to struggle. In Calvert County, Maryland, families cut off after their road washed away, using a basket to send medical supplies to someone who's diabetic. In the Northeast, neighborhoods are still a mess and patience is running thin.
They keep saying tomorrow, tomorrow, and every day we check and it's tomorrow again.
We have senior centers that are out with power.
All the live wires are down and there's nobody coming to help us.
New York's National Guard helping direct traffic. Crews from as far away as Canada and Florida now joining the war to restore power. Many wondering how the biggest blackout since Hurricane Sandy could happen with a tropical storm like Isaias.
The trees have been the same. The wires have been the same. They should have prepared for this.
Residents here tell us that they've been told they may not get power restored until early next week, and it could be a double whammy for some, with thunderstorms forecast for the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast through Saturday.
That's ABC News correspondent Adrian Bankert.
Como News Time 7:14. Time to check the Friday drive. Kiara Jordan has a Como traffic update.
Well, it looks like crews have now cleared our stall in Bellevue. This had been partially blocking the southbound 405 off-ramp to Northeast 4th. We have a new stall in Everett. This is westbound US 2. It's on the trestle toward the west end. As you're approaching I-5, it's taking up the right lane, and that's now causing a backup that's extending past 20th. Northbound I-5 still with a busy drive in Seattle between I-90 and the Convention Center, and northbound 405 is still tapping the brakes as you're traveling through Newcastle. Our next Como traffic app, 724.
Here's the forecast. Pretty nice day ahead today. We've had some clouds in certain spots this morning. They're expected to mostly burn off to at least a partly sunny afternoon and a high temperature about 75 degrees. Overnight, if you live in the northwest interior, parts of Whatcom or Skagit counties, you may see a few showers possible. Tomorrow morning, we'll wake to clouds and then mostly sunny in the afternoon and a high around 72. A nice day on Sunday, sunny and 75, and a little warmer on Monday.
We have sunshine in downtown Seattle right now. It's 57.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station, Como News.
Good morning. Greg Hirschholt and Amanda Factor here. Friday, the 7th day of August. And Frank Lenzi is at the editor's desk.
The U.S. economy added 1.8 million jobs in July. The unemployment rate fell to 10.2%. That's nearly one full point lower than the jobless rate for June.
The coronavirus pandemic has now infected more than 19 million people around the world since it began. The global death toll, as of this morning, 715,163. The U.S. leads the world in infections.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine will have another COVID-19 test this weekend after getting mixed results this week. The governor says he was held out of a meeting with President Trump yesterday after testing positive. We get more from ABC's Steve Osunsami.
As the president was landing in Ohio, one of the first people he was hoping to meet, Governor Mike DeWine, was sharing that he had just tested positive for COVID-19.
I just said I look forward to seeing the governor. They said, sir, he just tested positive. But he's a great guy. He's done a fantastic job.
Anyone meeting with the president has to be tested, and that's how Governor DeWine learned his diagnosis. The Republican, who closed bars and restaurants long before many of his peers in other states, is highly popular at home and says he has no symptoms.
When I got to the airport, found out shortly thereafter that I had tested positive.
President Trump, who wore a mask as he toured an appliance factory, is hopeful that a vaccine could be ready by Election Day.
I'm optimistic that it'll be probably around that date. I believe we'll have the vaccine before the end of the year, certainly, but around that date, yes, I think so.
Will that help you in the election?
It wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt, but I'm not doing that. I'm doing it not for the election. I want it fast because I want to save a lot of lives.
But many of his own scientists think it will be later.
My projection, which is only a projection, is that somewhere towards the end of the year, the beginning of 2021, we will know whether we have a safe and effective vaccine.
There's hope in some of the numbers. New cases in 11 states are decreasing, but the number of people dying is still alarming, more than 158,000 Americans. The White House task force is warning authorities in 9 cities and the Central Valley of California that they're at risk for a jump in cases.
I give it 2 weeks and someone's gonna die. Someone that didn't have to die.
Many teachers across the country are scared and in the streets trying to talk their schools out of in-person instruction. The consequences of getting sick were incredibly painful for the richest family in Florida. Their grandmother and her 2 sons died in 1 week and had to die alone.
I just hope that when he passed away,
when he passed away, he taught some of our...
I just hope that when he passed away, he was able to build his stairs to heaven.
Como News Time, now 7:19. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden is apologizing for a comment that suggested the Latino community may be more diverse than the African-American community.
It was a chance for Joe Biden to further his ties with the Black and Hispanic communities. But in a discussion over immigration, the former vice president seemed to suggest the Black community lacks diversity of thought.
What you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
The president pounced.
Joe Biden this morning totally disparaged and insulted the black community. What he said is incredible, and I don't know what's going on with him.
Biden's campaign insists he was not suggesting the black community is a monolith, but rather was referring to diversity of attitudes among Latinos when it comes to immigration. Biden tried to clarify.
We can build a new administration that reflects the full diversity of our nation and the full diversity of Latino communities. Now, when I mean full diversity, unlike the African-American community and many other communities, you're from everywhere. And from Europe, from the tip of South America, all the way to our border in Mexico, and in the Caribbean.
The president has a long history of racially charged and divisive remarks. Trump recently tweeting a video of a man shouting the racist phrase white power and calling Black Lives Matter a, quote, symbol of hate.
That's ABC News correspondent Mary Bruce.
Como News Time 720. Our Propel Insurance Money update. The Pierce County Council has voted to expand help to more local businesses struggling from the impacts of COVID-19. This week, the council passed two ordinances that will make more money available. One doubles the amount from $5 to $10 million available from a previous grant program. The other establishes a commercial rent and mortgage payment assistance program. To find out if your Pierce County business qualifies, we have a link for you on our website, comonews.com/hotlinks.
Lawmakers are hoping to reach a compromise on COVID relief today, but signs out of Capitol Hill are not very encouraging. Democrats and White House negotiators were still reportedly far apart after hours of talks yesterday, while millions of Americans wait. A particular sticking point is continued added unemployment benefits amid the economic fallout from the pandemic. Democrats want to keep paying people $600 a week, at least until January. Republicans say that's too much and will discourage people from returning to work.
Checking Wall Street, stocks are a bit lower this morning. The Dow down 158 right now at 27,229. S&P 500 down 12. The NASDAQ is down 37.
Coming up next, a look at traffic and weather, and then the question in this morning's daily trivia contest.
Stay home, stay connected, stay informed with Como News on your smart speaker.
Como News 1000 FM 97.7.
I'm Amanda Factor. Here are the
Como
top stories.
Keeps you connected to your world and the latest on the fight against coronavirus on the radio, online, all the time. Como News.